Romans chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me. Romans chapter 1, familiar passage of Scripture, most of you can quote it. But I just pray the Lord will use this just for a few moments. Just love how the Lord unveils things to us. And sometimes the most familiar Scriptures are sometimes the hardest to preach because everybody's heard about it. But I'm glad that's the wonderful power of the Word of God. Every time you read it, you see something different. You see something different if you're looking for it. If you study it, if you eat it, if you chew on it. And that's how precious the Word of God is. Romans chapter 1, we'll read one verse, verse 16. I do this from time to time. Yeah, you can be standing. That's fine. We'll be standing. Reverence the Word of God. Sometimes I do this from time to time, especially with familiar verses. I want us to read this in concert together, okay? Read this in concert together. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Thank you. You may be seated. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That's what we want to preach on tonight, is the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ. A simple message, but we pray that you will get something out of it tonight. And I hope I can, as I told my mom and my dad today, I hope I can preach it the way I feel it in my heart. And only preachers know what that means. If I was to ask some of you tonight and maybe take a poll or maybe suggestions on what you think the gospel of Christ is, I may get a variety of answers. Some people may say, well, it offered me salvation. It was a way that I could have a forgiven life. It has made my life better. It's gave me a new start. And all those may be true, but they are actually not the gospel. They are a result of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a statement that Jesus Christ made so very long ago. In fact, it embodied the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's three things about the gospel that I want to bring to your attention tonight. And we have to understand these if we're going to receive salvation and if we're going to experience the power of the gospel. Number one, the gospel is a person. The gospel is a person. And I told you that the gospel embodies the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel is all about Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what the gospel is. It's the virgin birth. It's the vicarious death. And it's the victorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel message is. And if we preach any other thing that is apart from that gospel, my friend, we are doing an injustice to the lost and dying world. We need to be sure that we preach the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, the vicarious death of Jesus Christ, and bless God, the victorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but it seems like the more I mention the name Jesus, the sweeter it sounds in my ears. And I'm just so thankful for the fact that, yes, the gospel of Christ is in a person, and His name is Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody tell you that the gospel is found in any other way but by Jesus Christ. I've been preaching a series of messages at our church on the I Am's of Christ. And I just got finished preaching about the door when He said, I am the door. And there, if you come in any other way, you are a thief and a robber. May I remind you one more time, the gospel specifically declares this. Jesus Christ is the door. He is the only way, because He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I feel the Lord tonight. No man could come to the Father but by me. If you try to get any other way, my friend, you're not going to make it into heaven. But may I remind you, the gospel, and there's so many people tonight, they're uncertain about the gospel. But I want to go on record and say, I know what the gospel is. I know that He was born of a virgin. Oh, so very long ago, in the womb of Mary, the Holy Spirit conceived Mary, and thereby with He was born of a virgin Mary. He lived a victorious life. He performed miracle after miracle. But then one day, they took Him up Calvary's Hill. and he died, and he said, "It is finished." And they took him off that cross. They laid him in a borrowed tomb. But on the third and appointed morning, he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. My friend, that is the gospel. It is in a person, and it is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Aren't you thankful for Jesus Christ? Aren't you glad that you found Jesus? Aren't you glad that he found you? And aren't you thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a person. And I'm going to hurry through the first two because I want to preach the third one. Not only is the gospel in a person, but the gospel must be preached. It must be preached. If you walk into the Ministry of Evangelistic Outreach at 299 Ohio Avenue, New Boston. By the way, anytime you're down in New Boston, Ohio, around Portsmouth, stop in. We'd love to say hi to you. We'd love to show you what God has blessed us with. But if you walk into the front door, if you look up, engraved in the wood is Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." There's no greater theme verse for an evangelistic ministry than that. To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And it must be preached. If you look up that word preach, it actually means to proclaim, to herald, almost like a town crier that gives good news. So many people look at us and they kind of look down upon me and Cal because we only have one way to preach, and that's open up and let her fly. But listen, we're just doing what the Bible says. If you're going to preach, hey, preach. Amen. Let people know that there's a good news to be heard. And the good news is that of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if I die tonight, may I go out proclaiming that He is the only way, that the gospel is still true, that the gospel is powerful, and the gospel must be preached. Amen. I know there's different styles to preaching, but I have my style, and don't make fun of me for what I do. But I was raised in an old-fashioned Holy Ghost anointed preaching. Amen. A lot of preachers I was raised up under, they might not have had a great education. There's nothing wrong with education. Nothing wrong with going to school and getting degrees and helping your ministry. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But I'm telling you, we're doing a disservice to the Lord when we don't preach under the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I've heard messages that the preacher only had a fourth grade education. But I'm telling you, the power of God came out. Why? Because they preached. Paul told Timothy, go and preach the word. Hey, listen, folks, it's time for the men of God to raise up and say, let's preach the word again. You say, Brian, how do you know you're supposed to preach it? We had great examples in the Word of God. May I remind you, Jesus preached the gospel because he said, the Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel. Peter preached the gospel. In Acts 15, verse 7, he rose up in amongst the crowd and began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul preached the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1, he said, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, and wherein you stand. And in fact, if you go to Revelation 14, verse 6, there's an angel that flies through heaven proclaiming the everlasting gospel. I'm telling you, folks, the gospel's been preached since the beginning of time. And listen, we need to continue preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel. People wonder why folks aren't getting saved like they used to. I'll tell you why. We're not preaching the gospel. I have scripture for that. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And if we hide the gospel, we won't see people saved. And I just believe it's time to get back just to good old-fashioned preaching the gospel. There's nothing wrong with special days, but I want to hear some preaching. There's nothing wrong with getting together and have fellowship, food and fun, but I'd rather just hear some preaching. I'm telling you what, when what we've turned into is we've turned into circuses. We've turned churches into social clubs. We've turned churches into circuses. We've turned churches into blow-up things and hot dog sales and bake sales and all that. And when all we need to do to reach the world is to preach the gospel! Amen. The gospel of Christ is in a person. The gospel of Christ needs to be preached, but according to our text, the gospel has power. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, this blessed my heart. The gospel came to us not in word only, but in power. And I believe where the church has gone wrong is we've misunderstood that the gospel is not for us to come to Christ and be saved, and that's all we need the gospel for. The gospel is not a once in a lifetime event. No, a gospel is for a lifetime. We've been to Calvary for a pardon, but we haven't been to Pentecost for power. In order to get from Calvary to Pentecost, you're going to need the gospel. Well, you say, right? Really? We need the gospel? Yeah. Because he said, before he died on the cross, he said, I want you to tarry till you be endued with power. And where did that power come? On the day of Pentecost, when they gathered together in the upper, it's a part of the gospel message. It's to have the power of God in our lives.
Amen.
Now, the word here, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The word power, and this is what's blessed my heart so much this last few days. The word in the Greek actually is dynamis. Dynamis. Many of you know that already. But that's where we get the word dynamite. So, the Holy Spirit just touched my heart a little bit. He said, why don't you look up some things about dynamite? Boy, was it powerful. Hey. That's, some of you got that. It's amazing the coincidence, the similarities between dynamite and the gospel. Let me share with you just a few and then we'll go home. Did you know that dynamite only has three ingredients? Nitroglycerin, stabilizers, and sorbents. Three ingredients. That's all you need to make an explosive, powerful stick of dynamite. Well, may I remind you, the gospel only has three ingredients as well. God fought it, Jesus bought it, the Holy Spirit wrought it. Amen. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It takes all three to make one, but hallelujah, that's what the gospel is all about. But then I began to look up the uses of dynamite. And really, there's just really three main uses of dynamite. We could get into very deep research in this, but I just wanted to keep it on the surface because it takes me a while to grab onto some things. But three basic things about dynamite that compares to the gospel. Number one, dynamite is used for exploration. They will use dynamite to make quarries, to go down into pits, to go do some mining. They'll use dynamite so they can be able to get down into the deep miry clay and find that which is usable down beneath all the stuff that don't matter. Now, I saw this the other day, and this goes right along with this. But do you know what they call the material from the top of the ground to where you're trying to get? They call that the overburden. So what dynamite does, Dynamite removes the overburden so that they can go down into the pit, so they can go down to the mine and get out the limestone or the stone that they can use or the clay, whatever they need. But they got to get down deep sometimes. But the deeper they go, sometimes the more precious the elements are. But in order to get there, they got to have some power. They got to have dynamite to get there. Oh, I believe it was David that said, "Oh, I waited patiently on the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a solid rock, and established my going. He had put a new song in my heart, even a song of praise unto our God." And some of you ain't shouting because you don't appreciate what God's done for you. But some of you can remember that you were deep in sin, that you were so dark, you didn't think nobody could reach you. But aren't you glad that your hope is found in the precious blood of Jesus Christ? Oh, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I don't care how far in sin you are tonight. Thank God the gospel has power to find you and lift you up and set you free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's good for exploration to go into pits. It's also used for construction. You enjoy these highways that we travel on. You enjoy the roads that we travel on, but those roads weren't always there. There was mountains in the way. But in order for there to be a new path built, in order for that road or that way to be constructed, there had to be some dynamite to blow home. Some of you aren't getting this, but some of you are, and I'm telling you. This is good preaching right here. In order to create a new way or a new path, there had to be some power to remove the rock that stood in the way. Oh, aren't you glad Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life"? And guess what? He made a new path. How did He make that new path? I'll tell you how He did it. He did it with two pieces of wood and three nails. He constructed a bridge and made a new path for us to find salvation. Glory to God. You know, you don't have to know everything. You just got to know people that know everything or that do a lot of things. And we have a dear friend, Calvary, mentioned to you last night, for those of you that were here. But he's an excavator. He works on big projects. And so I texted him and I said, "Hey, do you have any experience with the drilling and blasting?" And he says, "Yeah, I do it all the time." I said, "Well, can I call?" He knows he's a very busy man. He travels all over the country working. And he said, "Yeah, I'm just driving today, so I got plenty of time." So I gave him a call. And I said, I know some of the basic stuff just because what I found doing some research. And, of course, he's a good Christian man, so he kind of knew where I was going. And he said, "Oh, boy, this is good stuff." He said, "But, Brian, you know why we have to use dynamite?" He said, "Because we do everything we can with backhoes and bulldozers and earth movers." Because he said, "Sometimes..." So "sometimes the ground's so hard. That we got to have extra power to get through that hard ground. To get to where we need to go." And I said, "So are you telling me that the longer the ground is undisturbed, the harder it gets? And the more time that it sits there by itself undisturbed, the harder it gets?" He said, "That's exactly what I'm telling you." And I said, "Oh boy." And my heart began to melt. And I looked in my spirit at all the people in our churches that just sit there service after service. Some of y'all have family that have waited so long to come to Christ and their heart has become so hard. You say, "Brian, how in the world can we break through that callous?" I'll tell you how. You pray the power of God down on them. You pray the power of God down on them. There is nothing that can withstand the power of the gospel. Sometimes we use all the remedies that we have and they can only go so far. But sometimes we need extra power. And that comes with the gospel. So the dynamite's used for exploration, it's used for construction, and finally it's used for destruction. Dynamite busts up what's wrong. Dynamite also destroys what's false. But sometimes dynamite also reveals what's buried. And some of you tonight are in a place where you need the power of God to destroy some things in your life. We understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. I believe 2 Corinthians tells us that our weapons are not carnal, but mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And he goes on later in that chapter to talk about the power of the gospel and how that's what pulls down the strongholds of the enemy is the gospel and the power. And I appreciate, I really do. Please don't get me wrong what I'm ready to say. Because I know people work really hard to help people that's involved in addiction and just things that just seemingly the devil's just got this area choked, doesn't he? It's not just this area. It don't matter where you go. It's more than an epidemic. It's just sin. It's just evil. And he's got our family and our friends and our kids choked. And I really do. I appreciate all the programs that are out there. And they help a lot. But the only way they're going to be able to break and destroy what's binding them is the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel. I look across this congregation and we've enjoyed ourselves tonight, haven't we? We've rejoiced, we've praised. But every one of you undoubtedly carried something in here tonight that has got you so burdened down that you can't seem to make it. It's almost as if you've been buried alive and you're in that casket and you found a way to get out, but the burden is so heavy that you can't climb. Every time you grab some dirt, it just more dirt falls in on you. You're trying. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm just saying you need the power of God. I'm not ending on a down note. I'm ending on a positive note here in a minute, but I'm afraid that the generation behind me, and even my generation, they have not seen the power of God. And I know I'll be 43 next Thursday, but I've seen the power of God. I've done more than seen it. I've felt it. It's not just something you put on, take off when you go to church. It's you got to have it to live. You ain't gonna do what we do not have the power of God in you. No way, you ain't going to last. So, what I've been praying for probably the last year, and I've seen pockets of it throughout the country, but even in my own church, even among my own age group, I'm asking God to break our people. Break my generation break the ones coming after us so that they can experience the power of God. Now listen, some of you ain't going to like what I'm about ready to say. But I think some of you that experienced it will back me up. And I'm closing, I promise. The most, when I have felt the power of God most is when I've been broken the most. It's when I went through the hardest of times. It's when I went through tragedy. It's when I've had to pray for food on my table. It's when I've had to pray for my bills to get paid. It's when I've had to pray for my baby girl with an E. coli infection to survive the night when she was just a few months old. And even though our hearts were broken, I can't explain it. I've only experienced it. The overwhelming peace that comes. Knowing that I don't maybe have the answer, but I've got the power. And the power of God is not all about shouting. The power of God is all about walking. But I'm telling you, you get enough power of God in you, you'll shout. They were mentioning up here the other day, it's like getting hold of an electric line. You can't let loose. But that's what we need. We're so cumbered about with what people will think of us and how we look. Hey, I know when I cry, I make ugly faces. I know when I shout, I don't care. I didn't come to shout for you. I came to shout because God's been good to me. There's one final moment in this world's history that's going to come where the power of God will come so strong. In fact, Thessalonians even tells us that the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, I'm not a rocket scientist here, but in order for the dead in Christ to rise, that means there's going to have to be some destruction in the ground. And some graves are going to burst open. They're going to explode with the power of God. And our loved ones are going to rise to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The gospel. The gospel. It's simple. It's simple. As Brother Reuben said last night, God put it on the lower shelf so that we can all reach it. From the smallest of children to the oldest one that hasn't found Christ yet, we can all understand the gospel. And what do you need the gospel for tonight? For salvation, there's power. For healing, oh, there's power. For to get rid of your burdens, to destroy the bondages in your life, there's power. It's found in the gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the what? Power of God unto salvation to them who believe. To the Jew first. And you better be thankful for this next few words. And also the Greek. Because that means all of us that aren't Jews, we get to experience that power.